Hello, hello. You're listening
hello.
To Urban Conversation. Yes, hello. I am I'm on one end with these Blog Talk Radio people, and but we're not going to go into all of that. This is your host, Miguel Marie. Who do I have on the line? I should have Manuel, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And
all
James.
Right.
Well.
Okay, so James is on as well. Wow, so I think it's like a conspiracy or something against this show. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. Everything is like they don't know what's going on. It's like the show is showing that it's up, and then everything is getting booted off. But anyway, we'll see if we can make it through this show, because even though I've lost my voice, I'm good at writing letters and talking a lot of mess to get stuff fixed. Anyway, how are you guys, Manuel and James?
I am feeling good. I'm ready to get into this conversation because I have a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm feeling good myself. I have no complaints.
Wow, so you have a lot to say, huh, James?
Yeah. You're like, he's ready
Here's
to go in on this one.
Right. Yeah. Make sure you guys are also tuning in with us on our open forum page on Facebook. It's Urban Conversation Radio. Also, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio, even though I'm not that pleased with them right now, Urban Conversation as well. And hopefully in the near future, all of these glitches will be fixed and everything will be smooth sailing. But as we say in theater, the show must go on. So tonight we're talking about fact and fiction within the stereotypes of Black women. Of course, I know that this is a very emotionally charged topic, and for good reason, but sometimes certain stereotypes come into play for good reason. There's positive and there are negative ones, but we're going to deal with the negative stereotypes surrounding Black women. And since James is so hyped up, I'm not going to start with James. I'm going to start with Manuel. Manuel, first of all, address, maybe just kind of address one particular stereotype that stands out to you, and then go into that and open up the discussion with us, okay?
Well, any stereotype that is negative, I can't help but be objective on most of them, because I can go based off experience. So based on my personal experiences, there's different ones. One of the biggest ones is that Black women are not submissive.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's a big one.
I'm coughing because I'm sick. Keep going.
Okay. So that's a big one. And I would have to say that culturally, Black women may not be as groomed as some other cultures. But I found in my experience that Black women can be. Now, I do think there's a bit of work that comes along with it. Typically, you don't just meet a Black woman and, you know, you guys start dating and it's just automatically you just have this submissive woman on your hands. It is some work to it, which I think brings about the negative stereotypes that Black women are not submissive, because they don't just wake up in the morning, the first guy they meet, they're just bowing down to, willing to do everything for and be absolutely submissive until that has been earned. So I think the negative stereotype is a little bit, it shouldn't be considered that they're not submissive. They're just not as easy to submit. And that's the way.
Now, before you leave that, because I know that, I know this, that the word submission and being submissive sort of carries a negative connotation with a lot of people, not just women. So when you speak about submission and being submissive, clarify that exactly. What do you mean?
I mean, basically, It's when you take a step back from yourself and absolutely submit to the will of another person. But it's not just as if it's a punishment. You're comfortable doing it. You're happy to submit. And that's where people get the mix-up. You know, you should be happy. You should be excited to have someone to submit to give yourself over to that person. I think that what you're speaking on, where people find the problem with, is because they're thinking more so on the side of oppression, that they're forced to submit, or if you're not bowing down to somebody, that something's wrong with you. That's not what I mean or what's considered submission when it comes to, you know, love and relationships. You know, if you want to submit, you want to give yourself up to that person. So I think it's the definition behind it, or the idea that gets everybody mixed up, where you have a lot of black women also in general that just don't want to so-called submit, or because they have the bow-down mentality that they carry along with.
Well, I actually don't have a problem with it because I believe the biblical term of it, and that's my background is in ministry and theology and so forth. So I know that it's not, that can kind of take us into a whole other conversation, so I'm trying to tread lightly. But if you believe in the sense of, you know, like you said, it's not a dictatorship. It shouldn't be given to just anyone, and I think that's a big issue. There's mm-hmm. a lot of men that demand you submit to me. I'm the man. But because you have a penis doesn't make you, worthy to be submitted to. And a woman who, you know, truly understands what submission is knows that is something that you only give to someone who is equipped and enabled to lead you in the right way. You're not, you know, you don't just submit to you know, crazy Joe over there, you know, just because he, you know, he's the man. It has a great responsibility with that on both ends, to submit and also to be equipped to be submitted to. So anyway, moving right along. James, I know you were just twiddling your fingers, just wanting to jump in, and so I want you to do it the same way. Give me first, but instead of just giving me a broad overview of this topic, I want you to address a specific stereotype and speak on that the same way that Manuel did.
Okay, yeah, and you know what? I'm going to play right off Manuel's submission and take it a little step further, that one of the stereotypes of black women is that they emasculate their men.
Ooh.
That is one of the biggest ones, because it's part of that, not only not submitting, but coming in and being domineering in a relationship. You know, where feeling that, okay, because I'm educated, because I make my own money, therefore I have not only control or even, you know, split responsibilities, but full control over the dynamic and the vision of the relationship. And basically,
I like
it is, you have to come to me. You have to be worthy of me. And in the process, it just, you begin to belittle men as looking down upon black men, especially by the fact that more black women have more education than black men, you know, as far as, you know, degrees and everything are concerned. And so there is a sense of belittling black men to the point that, you know, they don't feel like they're the man of the house, because maybe they're not the provider that, you know, that women are expecting. You know, like, you should pay all the bills, you should pay everything, your money is my money, and my money is my money, and because you can't do that, then I can't treat you like a man. And you take pieces of the man, you know, because you can destroy, I don't think women understand this, you can destroy a man little by little, you know, just by digging at his ego, at his masculinity, at his everything that makes him feel like a man, you can pick away at that. And I think that's one of the stereotypes of, like, you know, black women are emasculating, and they don't allow black men to stand up and stand in their place, even if they do find them worthy. They still don't.
Hold on, let me stereotype that out there. Hold on. Okay, so just to be fair, and to kind of, you guys are speaking on your experience in relationship. I'm assuming you're speaking off of your experience.
No, actually, I'm speaking more of, you asked what are the stereotypes that are out there, and
these are discussions I've had over the years.
I've in my personal relationship, I think most of the stereotypes, and I should preface by saying this, I think most of these stereotypes are, especially the negative ones, have only a little nugget of validity to them, but oftentimes they're overblown and is hyperbole. I really believe that. And because my own experience is that I've met some strong-willed women. My wife is a very strong-willed woman. And I don't get the sense, I mean, I'm the man of the house. You know, I pretty much kind of do what I want, except she won't let me put the Isaac Hayes mural in the staircase. But, so it's that type of thing. But, you know, she has her own mind. You know, we're a partner, and there are many, many times where I know for a fact that she would have done something totally different, but because I was like, no, this is how we're going to do it, this is it, she just went along. And if it worked out well, I'd never heard anything. If it didn't, you can believe I hear it. But so, but it's one of those things where if you, from the outside, if you meet her for the first time, you would think, like, man, she can be tough. And you know, she can be. But I just think that, just as Manuel stated before, with most women, especially black women, you have to go through a period of earning a level of trust with them before they begin to give over to you, because eventually they will. But it's not like you walk through the door and just...
Go ahead. I'm going to mute you. Okay, hold on. I'm glad I have this mute button. So basically, a lot of the, it sounds like some of these things that are viewed as a negative are not necessarily a negative attribute for not only black women, but just women in general. I think that, you know, when you approach having standards and who you actually give yourself to, I think being a woman with some common sense and having some, you know, having a sense about herself, you're not going to just allow any man to come in and to rule and to, you know, and to control. And I think a lot of times these attributes are not just towards, you know, they're not just exhibited in black women, but it seems like the same characteristics that a black woman may display is blown into this negative, but when other ethnicities display these same sort of characteristics as far as having a standard of I'm not just going to give myself to any man, or you have to prove yourself, it's more positive when it's in that light. But it seems to a lot of these things seem to be viewed negatively when it comes to black women. And
right.
So I want you to, Manuel, I want you to speak on that.
That's certainly true. Kind of what James was saying, whereas, you know, we can talk about that submission or whatever, but I would speak on something totally different. We had this idea that, well, not something totally different, so I'm rambling a little bit. He was saying how women, black women emasculate, and how that's kind of what comes along with the package. You know, you can expect black women to be emasculating and digging into your ego and taking shots. One of the things that is, I don't want to say it's true, but from person to person, and I've come across this quite often, is black women and that damn mouth. Now, amongst I would say there has to be a competition between my black women and my Hispanic women. But the mouth on black women, I mean, now that is undisputed territory. It is that's not a fallacy by any stretch. That's absolutely probably 95% certain. And there's an exception to every rule. There are some outliers out there. But every black woman that I've dealt with, yes, there is a point where they don't know when to shut up. I mean, and I'm saying shut up. I'm not saying be quiet. I'm saying shut up, because in order to shut up, you basically have to close your mouth, even when you want to say something, and simply don't say it because it's no point. And that's what black women do not do. You guys only be quiet, and being quiet is when you have nothing else to say. But shutting up means you want to say something, but it does nothing for you to say it with the attitude, the language, the mouth, and all that stuff. So
Hold your tongue.
Patrice O'Neill, he passed away a few years ago, but he had a very, very good point. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said that when men speak and when black men speak, you know, basically we have this thing in us that edits what we say, what we normally say before it comes out. So it goes from, you know, the gut to the heart to the brain to the mouth. It's none of that. It goes straight from the gut to the heart, straight out the mouth. It doesn't go past the brain area. And then afterwards, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said this.
Oh,
and that's the problem. then after the fact, you get that, oh, I shouldn't have said.
Hold on before I mute you. Until you said that when a woman speaks, it doesn't go through the brain. I'm not gonna co-sign that, but I do. I will say, let me finish. I will say that women definitely are more emotional centered, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Women and men are supposed to be different. We're supposed to balance each other out. So we're not supposed to. Exactly. So I will agree with you that women are more emotional centered. That's a beautiful thing when she has balance with it. So I do agree with you to a certain extent on that. So continue. I had to put that in there because you was really going in. But go ahead.
Well, I'll agree, and I'll definitely agree with that. I mean, I've always been one to say that, you know, men can't expect women to be like men, and women can't expect men to be like women. I mean, we need that balance. But in that arena with that mouth is where and that's just growth and maturity and everything else. And, you know, but you oftentimes see the situations and it can go to points of where you get physical confrontations between men and women because I'm never justifying. I mean, you can just let a woman say what she has to say. You never have to put your hands on a woman. But you will find women who provoke on the highest level. I mean, they get in your face. They follow you from room to room. And it's like, what you gonna do? Or what you gonna like? You don't do that to a human being at all, man or woman.
I don't think that's necessarily ethnic centered. That's an issue that many people have, no matter what ethnicity they are. It absolutely is. And one thing that I did, because as you get to know me, you know that I always go into a conversation looking into statistics and different things. And as far as violence from women towards men, black women do not have white women or any other ethnic group beat on that. So we're not going to throw out things that are not factual, because this is fact and fiction, and we want to debate some of the stuff that's not true. So it's not, that's not true. So you can research it yourself.
You remember the skeleton they found? They call her Lucy. The hominid they found, she was like 2 or 3 million years old. You know, when they found her, what position she was in? She was, her mouth was open. So I mean,
from that point on,
y'all have not closed your mouth ever.
Wait a minute. That's not what I said. I'm not debating that women don't have a mouth on them. I was making a point that we're not going to shift the whole violence thing and kind of say that black women have that market beat, because that's not the reality. So that's the point that I was making. But women most definitely have a mouth on them, and many women have no control over their tongue. So
wait a minute.
It's something that,
I'm sorry. Did you mute me?
I did, and I will mute you again if you try to speak over me. So,
I can't speak that loud
because I'm sick and you're not hearing me when I was trying to interject. So I wanted to mute you to make the point that I was agreeing with you and Manuel about the mouth. So just not the violence part. Okay.
No, I don't. I agree about the violence. Here's the thing, because I think the mouth, and I will say this, expectations. There is this thing that, and this is anecdotal evidence from just my interaction, specifically on social media, because I don't see this in my real life, but on social media, I'm getting the impression that a lot of black women have totally unrealistic expectations when it comes to relationship. I mean, completely absurd. So I don't know if that's a stereotype or not, but it seems to me that what is expected is like, I've seen them where they'll say, well, my man will do this. I shouldn't have a problem with that because my man will be the provider. I shouldn't have to work. My money should be my money. His money should take care of everything else. Just on the interpersonal reactions, it's like, you know, men should never look at other women. Men shouldn't do this. My man would never do that. And I'm always thinking, like, that's not really how it works. You know,
right.
There's nothing clear cut about being in relationships, and it's like I've seen these women with a list of things that they want their man to have, and it's like 100 things, and it's like, well, you know what? Actually, if you get 50 of those, I mean, I think it's a miracle if you get 50 of those at the level that you want, and it's always that thing of saying that I should not settle. And I'm always thinking, like, it's not a matter of settling. It's a matter of compromising, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that if you told me, and see, as a master griller, someone who have mastered the art of ribs and pulled pork, I can tell you, okay, there are ingredients. There are a bunch of ingredients that I use to make my dry rub, right? And so I view kind of like a person, how you view a recipe, and say, okay, I need these 7 items. But, and so you can say, hey, I need these 7 things. But what happens if I give you one of those items in a dosage that you don't like? So I need an ambitious man. I want my man to be ambitious. Well, what if he's really ambitious, where he's willing to work 15 hours a day, and he only expects to see you maybe on Friday, maybe on Sunday, because he's trying to build something, and he's really ambitious. Do you like that? No, maybe you don't want him that ambitious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you like him funny, but what if he's, like, joking all the freaking time and coming to your job joking, you know? It's one of those things where it's like, no, really, you can say what you want, but if you get one of those things out of proportion, that person then becomes a negative. Attribute that you say you like, you may not like it as much as you think when you see it in full bloom. So that's when I think about suddenly, it's like, you know, you can have your list, But I can tell you, you get a couple of those things that are not where they become the true essence of that individual. You may not like it as you think you like it. And that's the thing. I think people have unrealistic expectations of who individuals are and what they bring to the relationship. And I think black women are guilty of that more so than I've seen anyone else. And I've seen it's ridiculous how, and maybe it's because a lot of them have not, because we haven't grown up in split, you know, divorces or, you know, single family homes, you don't realize it's like, hey, these relationships that you see, these marriages that you see work long term, that's a lot of work that went into that. It wasn't that all lovey-dovey. It's a whole lot of, you know what, I'm leaving you, and then you realize I'm not leaving her. And then it's get out of my house, and then you realize, nah, you need to just come home. And you work through it. That's one of those that that irks me more than anything else is the unrealistic expectations of black women when it comes to, especially for black men. Totally unrealistic.
I definitely agree with that. I've had many conversations with women who discounted what I would see as a good man because of minor things. But when it comes to women and men and what they want and what they believe is reasonable, it's hard to sort of debate that with a person. But I definitely agree with that. I think a lot of times we discount good people, good situations, because they're not coming in the perfect package that we assume it should. And we forget that our packaging isn't perfect either. So it's always easier to see the faults of somebody else. Manuel, we can't let you get too quiet over there. Hold on a second. We have a caller that's calling from, we have a couple, a few. You're calling from an 831 area code. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Can you give us your name and go right in with whatever question or opinion you have?
Well, first I'd like to say hi, guys. Hey, Ms. Miguel, how you doing? My name is Chaz.
Hi,
Chad. Can you hear me?
Yes, we need some feedback from your computer or something like that.
I had y'all on speaker. That's all. I took you off.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So honestly, with relationships, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of things that have been touched on, but I mean, people always expect a perfect person, but you can't expect anyone to be perfect if you're not perfect yourself. You know what I mean? And there is no perfect person in this world. So to expect a perfect relationship or a perfect man, it's just not going to happen. You live in a lie. If you think for one second that you're perfect and you don't have flaws and you can find somebody that's going, you know, that's going to be just like that, doesn't have flaws, ain't never done nothing wrong. I mean, if somebody's lying to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We agree. We just said that. And you're absolutely, you're right. We kind of took a turn from the topic, but it definitely
No, well, I can tell you this. You know, we can flip the script again because we can get back on the stereotypes because, I mean, we haven't even addressed angry. You know, that's a stereotype that's out there.
Right.
And let's face it, some of y'all are angry anyway, but I don't know. So we'll touch on that. But I think is I guess what a stereotype process would be with the expectations is that, you know, black women, I guess it would say standards. Are black women's standards too high? Is that a stereotype? Are black women's standards too high? And I would say that based on this conversation we just had, I believe that stereotype to have a lot of truth to it. That the standards in which women apply towards relationship I think them. I don't know if they're high or they're just simply unrealistic. It seems to me that there's some fantasy going on here that is, you know, maybe too many Cosby Show and different world episodes where you think that's how it is, and that's not how it is. So,
I think when somebody's looking for that, you know, that perfect person or that or the person that's perfect for them, because you know the caller was like, there is no perfect person, but then there are people who we find perfect for us. And with those standards and all those characteristics, like James was speaking of, the to find somebody with all the characteristics that you prefer and in balance, I'm talking about just the way that you would like them, it's extremely rare. Like, people don't understand how rare it is to find somebody that they would design themselves. You know, if you can pick all the attributes of a person and mold into your perfect person, the person that's perfect for you, to find that person more than once or twice in a lifetime is almost probably impossible. So I think sometimes we you know, black women come across those men and perhaps they can't develop a relationship with them, or perhaps they can't, or they were in a relationship with that person and it didn't go a certain kind of way. And I think that's where, in some cases, we can get that bitterness and anger that seems to permeate in black women. Whereas, because I don't think black women are just naturally just walking around angry. But I do think that they are products of their environment. Fathers not being at home or never knowing a father or some abuses. And we all know that hurt people. So If you're dealing with a woman that's damaged, you kind of have to look at it in that scope, that it's not that black women are just angry. You know, this woman has been through something, and is probably still going through something. And it comes off as anger because that's that wall that they have built up to protect themselves from disappointment that they've already seen before. So I don't think that they're angry just to be angry. But people have to learn how to deal with that anger. You know, black women, you know, women in general, people in general, have to learn how to deal with whatever it is that has them in that aggressive stance. Because I've come across women that I would consider, you know, maybe a little bitter, maybe a little angry, a little aggressive, a little jaded. But any time that I see a person like that, I always tend to believe that there's something deeper going on, that has to be a wall, because human beings just can't walk around angry. But it is one of those things that we deal with as black men. The angry black woman, quote unquote, is something that you're going to come across a few times. But I don't think it's just that they're angry.
Okay. You know, Manuel,
okay,
I have to tell you something.
No, hold on. We have a call. We're going to go to this caller. We have somebody calling from 678 area code. Can you hear me? Okay. And I guess I don't know, they're not speaking. All right, so we're going to keep going. But Manuel, I definitely agree with what you said. That's a good point. I think anyone, any woman or man that's bitter or angry is caused by something. Usually it's relationships. Usually it's hurt that hasn't been resolved and so forth. But let's go into some of the other stereotypes that we see being more so shined on black women than any other ethnicity.
Okay. All right. You want me to go? I have a couple.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, but before Miguel cut me off, I was going to tell Manuel, I actually did find the perfect woman built specifically for me, and only issue was it was $1,500 an hour, and so I had.
And James, just for the record, I'm not cutting you off. You're talking over me. I don't think you're hearing me when you start talking, which is why I have to keep muting you because I can't talk as loud as you. So,
mm-hmm. And see, here's what it is. This is why men. Control it, because if I were a man, as a man, I should have my hand on the mute button and be able to mute you. That's how relationships work.
Okay, so Manuel, are you there? Because I've muted James. He's in a timeout. And he'll remain there for another 10 seconds.
Did you give him the around the horn mute? Did you just
he is on mute right now, which is why you don't hear him. Because although I believe in a woman being submissive to her man, James is not my man, so he's not calling the shots on this.
Okay.
James, are you there?
I have thoroughly understood my role in this dynamic.
I am so glad you did, and I'm so glad we now have a clear understanding. And I feel so much better now. But James, go ahead and direct if you want to get more into the angry black woman, because that's a big one. And I want you guys to take a little bit more time to delve into that, and I know Manuel started it out, so I want you to address that as well.
Yeah, I think Manuel probably hit it along the lines where I would do it, is that you get a sense that because of the environment that, you know, where most black women had to come through, the, you know, growing up in single black homes, having so much responsibility placed on them as single black parents themselves, that you get kind of worn down. And I hate to say this, but there's some sorry ass men out there, and I have no idea how they get women, and I don't know how they procreate, but they do. And what happens is that festers throughout the community, and it festers with women, and it is just that wall that you come in with. And part of it, I can understand it. I think there's some truth to the angry black woman, but part of it, I completely get it. I mean, I absolutely get it where it comes from, because when I run into a sorry-ass man, I'm thinking like, wow, you're a sorry-ass man. And I don't really have to deal with you, because it's from man to man. It's just like, dude, you know, whatever. I have a drink with you. It's cool. You go about your way. I go about mine. I ain't trying to hear all that stuff you talking, you know. So, I do get it, part of it, but there are some times where when you as a man run into it, and you're trying to navigate your way through those deep dark waters, it's tiring. And at a certain point, is like before you get to who the essence of that woman is, you have to go through that, and sometimes you just run out of energy. And so I would say for a lot of women, I mean, if you're angry, I think is that you have to figure out how to subside and really know where to point that anger at. You know, I mean, if you got a sorry, you know, your father's child, I hate saying baby daddy, if you're the father of your child is sorry, you have to figure out how to point that anger and then how to really get what you're trying to get, because a lot of times that's the problem. You get frustrated because you're trying, you're not getting. And you try, you don't get. And it's like, because really you're not fighting the right way. So, and then I come into the picture and I get, you know, this tornado, and then you say, well, you got to work through it. It's like, well, I don't want to work through it because I don't have time for it. You know, maybe when I was younger, and, you know, she's really, really fine, and, you know, she's fly, and, you know, I'll tolerate it up until I hit it a couple of times, and I see the anger still there.
What? Is this about you falling into vagina again?
Falling into vagina is totally different. That's just, you don't even know names and stuff. It's just like, I fell into it, I went on my way. This is really trying to get through.
Oh, no.
This woman has some issues and stuff like that. So this is more like, you know, a true walk into a relationship where you're trying to do something, and you're trying to get past all of the garbage that she's putting up in front of you because she's still dealing with other stuff. And when it comes to with the angry black women, I really believe a lot of that is true, but I get it. That's the whole thing. I get it. I don't want to deal with it. I get it.
Right.
I don't want to deal with it. That's how I would put it.
You get it and you don't want to deal with it.
Yes.
You know what? And I'm not even going to pretend like I don't see that in a lot of my sisters, because we know that we do. We see that. We see a lot of the attitudes just in day-to-day interactions. And I tend to see it more amongst black women in certain settings. But at the same time, my circle, the black women that are in my circle, we don't roll like that, very positive and uplifting. And that's why my circle is small. But I do think that it's not just something that is directed towards men, which is interesting. And I'm not saying that black women are the only ones with attitudes and bad dispositions, because that's not it. But it's definitely not something that's just directed towards men. You have a lot of black women who have attitudes with other women for no good reason. And, you know, you try to say hello to them. You know, you get on the elevator or you walk in the store, and I like to smile and greet people. And I've been looked at like I had egg on my face so many times. You know, and I had to go and look in the mirror and make sure, like, wait, is there something on my face? Because that sort of wall tends to be up. And I don't know, Manuel, what's up with that?
I think that wall is up because women want to avoid as much foolishness as possible in some cases.
You can't really avoid the foolishness if you are the foolishness.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. I mean, when you kind of attract what you are, so to speak. So if you carry around a certain energy, you can't help but attract that. So sometimes it's all about working on yourself. You know, before you're out there and dealing with men and before men are dealing with women, you know, work on yourself. Be true with yourself and have a definition of yourself. And then once you have that and you walk around with that air about you, then you're going to attract what you want to or what you prefer. My question is, because I know everybody in life, we have a young phase. You know, we have that phase somewhere between adolescence and young adulthood to where we haven't quite figured ourselves out. So in that process, men and women, but we're talking about women, find themselves drawn to the wrong type of person. My question is, and this is what James was alluding to, you know, it's a lot of sorry-ass men that keep getting women. My question to women and black women, and I don't know, you know, like I said, we're not speaking, but how on earth someone, it's like, dude already has, and I'm going to say baby daddy already has 4 kids, 5 kids, somewhere spread out in the United States of America.
Right.
How on earth do you find yourself even giving him the time of day? If a man tells you, if you get to know a guy and he has 4 or 5 kids by 2 or 3 different women and they're all over the place, he wasn't married to either one of them, and he's kind of a bit on a deadbeat level. I'm not saying that everybody has to be so financially well endowed and everything else, but you can see that this man has a track record of a bunch of kids, few different women, his income is what it is, and you still give him the time of day. Now, when you give him the time of day and you end up being another one of those baby mamas, who the hell on earth are you willing to be angry at? Because you can't be angry at the man. He has a track record. He's shown you what he's capable of. So
right,
who's angry?
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of that anger comes from, because they're angry at themselves. But if you're still attracted to the bad boy, or you're still attracted to the vagabond, or the guy that just looks like, oh, he just needs a break, that's your problem. That's personal responsibility 101. You can't expect.
But she loves him. She loves him.
I don't give a
damn.
He
be putting it down in the bedroom. Oh, my God, girl. He be making me just like, ooh, I be like, oh, my God, but he ain't no good. He ain't no good, but I can't give him up. You know?
Is that your hood impersonation? That was, That I don't know if that worked.
No, that's my I'm hoarse. I can't talk.
Right. But that's what it is. It's like women want, there's these red flags that appear. The red flags are right there in your face. And for whatever reason, they just skip past these red flags as if they can change or build this man into something that because of potential or whatever else, whatever stupidness it is they see. And that's another one. You know, black women are always falling for potential. What the hell? Potential? Potential? Oh, my God. Potential?
Well,
no,
let me say this. Every including the two of you, every man, every woman, because of the way that God equipped us, we see past what may be on the surface. And I think that's a good thing. And like I said before, everything with balance, though. If the person's potential is there, but their ability or their desire to walk in it isn't, then you don't need to bother with that. But women are nurturers, and we see past the grime and the grit, and we look at you and we see the best in you. So that's not a negative, because every man, no matter how successful you are, you had a woman that saw past your nonsense, because everybody has it. So that's not a bad thing, but again, and I will say this again and again, so no one takes what I'm saying the wrong way, everything has to have a balance. It's okay to see the beauty and the good and the potential in a man. We're supposed to see the potential in our men. Women are supposed to build and push men to embrace who they are and who the Creator made them. So that's not a bad thing, but don't get yourself wrapped up in a man who doesn't want to see his own potential and who doesn't want to be a better man. That's where the problem comes. It's okay, you know, where you see Susie is with Joe over here, and he's no good. But she's like, oh, but I see the good in him. But if Joe doesn't see the good in himself and he doesn't want to see it, you're wasting your time. Mm. And we're gonna hold on 1 second, because we have a caller. We have a couple of callers. All right, we have somebody calling from 678 area code. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you give us your name?
This is Wendy again.
our show favorite. We love you so much, Wendy.
Hey, guys, and I was only just trying to listen in and just take it all in. I was kind of hoping that it would play out with my air as opposed to my voice. But interestingly enough, you guys broached on my favorite topic, potential. Yeah, I'm just not one of those people that say he has potential. If he doesn't come to me with what I need for him to have, basic understanding of how a relationship should work, I don't care if you have the potential to be a doctor if you can't fix things now.
Uh-huh.
Especially at my age. In my 20s, I can say, you know what, I can see great things for him. But at 40, and I'm looking for someone in their mid-40s, late 40s, I expect for you to have some understanding of yourself. So your potential should have already been right there at its eclipse. I'm not looking for you to tell me my rapping career is going to take off in the next 5 years. I'm not going to be around for that. I need you to do that with some other female who is able to help you and hone your craft. That's not going to be me.
Wendy, I see where you're taking potential. When I see potential, I'm looking, when I speak on it, I'm looking more in a spiritual sense, and we all have growth to do in our life. We all, you know, this life that we're living, we're constantly supposed to be striving to be better and to embracing a greater self. So nobody ever outgrows potential. But what you're saying, I absolutely agree. If you're at a place in your life and you've established certain things, you're not gonna want to link up with. For one, you're not linkable in that sense. You know, if someone is, you've already established certain things in your life, if someone is,
absolutely,
you know, they're still trying to find themselves. So
he has to
ahead.
At least be on my level, at least.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you know what? Here's the thing. I would say this, and I have nieces who are young and everything in college, and I tell them all the time, it's like, if you're going to date in college, and I told them not to date in college, but if you're going to date the guys that look like they're interested in being in college and pursuing something. Because at 20-something, you know, even though, hey, look, my thing is go out, date, have fun, whatever. Just stay away from all the frat parties and stuff like that.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, if you're going to seriously date, you have to date guys who look as though they have a plan after college. And they're just not winging it and want to go off and do something else. But I get Wendy. When you're 40, I'm 46.
Ooh.
It's when you walk through the door at this point in our lives, is we're just, hey, who are you? You should know who you are. I'm going to tell you who I am. This is what I have. This is what you have. Are we going to do it or not?
Right.
Yes or no? That's it. Because it's like you cannot look at the potential of a man when you're in your 40s. It's like you're either there or you're not. I shouldn't be dealing with drama issues. I shouldn't be dealing with mama issues, daddy issues, all those things. All of that is gone. Okay? That's all gone. You should have settled all of that. If you have issues with me and my brother, we've been fighting for the last 15 years, you need to cancel that. Okay? If you're in your 40s. At 20, I would tell a woman, potential is all you need to worry about. Because the sky's the limit. And you need to look for guys who are looking at the sky and who are and trying to get that high. Fine.
Right.
40? No. 60, I need you to have a retirement home.
Thank
Where's
you.
Your retirement home?
Something.
Where's your
something.
Pension?
Like I tell my girlfriends, I don't train dragons.
Right. And it's like, look, and more than likely, if I'm getting married at 60, I'm thinking, like, look, we need to have a kidney match before we do this because one of our kidneys may go out and we need to be able to give to each other. So,
oh,
is,
God.
I'm serious. Hey, look.
We're basically, so that we don't keep saying the same thing, I think everybody is agreeing. It's you know, when you look at certain definitions and you know, you have different ideologies surrounding certain things, that's going to attribute to how you take it. I mean, potential, like Wendy, like I said, I agree, but I'm looking at it in a more deep, on a deeper level, an ever-growing, we're always growing, we're always evolving, and we should be able to see that in the person that we're with. And if you're looking at it from a financial perspective and success status, that's a whole nother thing. And so we're all agreeing on the same thing. Wendy, thank you for calling. We have another caller.
You're welcome.
Hold on. I love you, Wendy. She's so sweet.
You too, hon.
Hold on. Okay, we have time for one more call. We have somebody calling from 512. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you give us your name?
My name is Charles Hill. Hey, Manuel, what's up, man?
Oh, hell no.
I got
hell
through,
no.
Dog. It's my brother, man. Just, don't hold me responsible for anything that comes out of here. He came from the shallow end of the gene pool. I'm just going to put that on out there. Y'all see what I got to deal with?
Charles, go ahead.
We're talking angry black women. I had this angry black person. And I think men in dealing with angry black women, I really think we should do a background check, you know, check their friends, check their history, and just make sure we can deal with that level of BS. Because some people are not as tolerant and is not going to, you know, deal with that. And women,
right.
Some black women, because of how they was raised, because of who they dealt with, may it be the ghetto, or may have been they're a black child adopted by white people going to a white school and looked down upon. You know, they have a lot of baggage. We have a lot of baggage.
Right.
But they don't understand how to be submissive, let go, let someone in. They have all these walls and things. You don't want to go through all that crap. No,
yeah.
Nobody does. It's crazy. And then what happened is the hindsight 2020 situation. They leave the good guy, go for the bad guy.
Yeah.
The bad guy put his hands on him because she was doing the same thing with the bad guy that she thought she got away with the good guy, but the good guy was just like, look, my mom raised me better. I don't have to deal with that, and moved on. So then she get her hands put on her. we've gone to the extreme with this situation. That could be the situation, or vice versa, you know. But some people are not mature enough or wasn't raised right, and then you may get, I came from a broken home, I can do it on my own, all I need you for is your dick. But then women telling you, oh, trust me, you got women telling you that, you know, I'm part of the beehive and all this stuff, and you looking at them like you can't grasp the concept of saving your money, but you're the baddest.
Mm.
You're tearing me down. You know, you're telling me I'm not anything, and then you still running around with this angry woman syndrome. Why can't I get a good man? You push them away. Your attitude, the way you act, your values, and a lot of people don't realize. I think, like, in the first 2 weeks you dating somebody, y'all need to get definition and ideology down pat. You know, what do you believe in?
Right.
So you don't think this is wrong or right? You know, I might not believe in abortion. You might. You know, it may, you know, things like that can tear something apart, but you're so in love, you know, your nose is in the other person's ass, so to speak. And by the time you figure out what's really going on, you're like, damn, what did I do? I got a baby on the way. Damn, what did I do? I got to deal with this person ever?
The rest of your life.
No, ever?
Shit. Yeah. That's good stuff.
I need him, you know, something.
Yeah.
Very good. All of those are good points, Charles. Thank you.
All right. Well, y'all put me back on the listening, too. Cause
Thank you for calling in. Those are good points you made. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Manuel. Is that an older or younger brother?
Younger. So okay. That's younger. What am I? I'm 33. He's 32. The other one's 30, and yeah, another one's 40 something, and another one's 40. But we're all over the place. But I mean, and he's been doing, you know, he's been doing his own things. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, definitely what he's speaking on is, you know, those values and everything else. Like, people will look past that, and men are guilty of it too. You know, dealing with women who come with all this baggage. And the reason, part of the reason they have that baggage is for decisions that they've made. And I oftentimes wonder, how often are we dealing with a rebound situation before a person has actually recovered, healed, and found themselves before next thing they're in your bed and you guys are in an emotional tangle yourselves? How are you sure that person isn't bringing something that you really don't want to deal with? It can be too late. You can already be in a relationship and have children in the world by the time you really realize who this person is. My grandmother told me years ago when I was really young, she said, you never know who a person is. She said, you never know. She said, because people can always surprise you. So, but I think you can at some point, you know, have a real definition of what you're going to be dealing with going forward. And I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, we need to find out what those things are, women as well, especially black women, need to find out what those things are that they're dealing with and the people that they're dealing with.
I think you can get to know a person as well as you can get to know yourself. And if you have, you know, if you have a sound level of introspection and discernment, you know, that's what's going to lead you and your relationships and who you link up with. And the fact is that, you know, we'll make mistakes and no one is whole. I know a lot of people like to walk around and, oh, I'm whole and I'm looking for another whole. No one is whole until you leave this world. You know, you're always growing and changing. So the beauty in that is that if you find somebody who's willing to grow and change with you as well. And even though we went in a couple of different directions, I really enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully, although we didn't address a few things that I wanted to, hopefully we can deal with people as individuals, definitely black women and not generalize, look at each experience as a unique thing and take it for what it is and don't bring in different belief systems that you have for an entire group or gender. You know, get to know the woman for who she is and let that be what dictates it. But before we close, Manuel, we're going to start a new thing because you're like our voice for the dating world. you like. And although I don't have your little thing that's gonna play before you give your dating tips, I still want you to give one. I still want you to give one tonight because I know you're dating and all of that. So take a couple of minutes before we go off air and give us this week's dating tips, please.
All right.
I'm not dating, and James is not dating, but for the listeners, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. So here's one that I always get, that you always hear women complain about. A man with a damn plan. Dudes, this is so not hard. And I hear it, I mean, at least once a week, if not more.
Oh, man, yeah.
Dudes have a plan. All you got to do is have a plan. And the guys are real. I got on the phone with her and I asked her, hey, what you want to do? Where you like to go? What do you? No! Take charge. Walk up. Pick up the phone. Send a text saying, the only thing we should be asking a woman is for their availability. Are you free this particular night, during lunch, or whatever? At that point, she doesn't need options. She doesn't need to be asked, where does she want to go? I'm not asking where you want to go. I'm talking about where we are going. The only question I have is availability. the only question I have is availability and maybe cuisine, maybe. But if you got to know somebody a little bit, you kind of got a general idea of what they don't mind eating. So it's just like, hey, this time, meet me here, or I'm picking you up and we're going there to grab something. And it's just that simple. And, I mean, at most, you can say, hey, this is the type of attire. Because the only thing that a woman should have to worry about when they're going out with a man is looking good. That is all. Looking good.
And how
long they're going to be out. That is it. The minute you dumbass men start asking all these questions as if it's an interview to find out where they want to go, what they want to do, how they like. Shut up. Because then somebody like me is gonna shoot her a text and say, hey, what time are you gonna be ready? And that's gonna be it. And you just got circumvented. So I'm just saying, dudes, be the man with a plan. Please be a man with a plan. It's so easy.
That is well said.
Yes, that I so agree. Women want you guys to just do it. Just have it set
just
up.
Take over, just take over. Boss up.
Take
come
over,
on, girl.
Baby.
Come on.
Take over. Yeah. Yes.
Let's go, girl.
Yeah.
Yes. While you're grabbing her hair and you've got the caveman.
Hey, wait, whoa.
I'm kidding.
What's going on here, boy? I don't know.
I'm really not. No, I'm kidding. No. No, I hear that too, Mongwell, that women just want the man to kind of, you know, plan the date. You know, it's,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, that's nice, you know. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. James, did you have something to say before I mute you?
Oh no, I would say the overall for this particular topic, I think I would just love for us as a Black community to get away from the stereotypes, or at least be willing to dwell a little deeper into them before applying them to people. You know, I think that's one of the things, because I think we do a disservice to each other when we play on them and when we accept them, carte blanche. I think that's one of the main things that, you know, why I really wanted to address this, because I think specifically, I know people thought Manuel and I would come on here and co-sign all these stereotypes. And it's like, no, it's deeper than that. And you have to be willing to go beyond just the surface of these stereotypes.
Now, there is one. Now, we should do a part two of this show where we talk about the sexual stereotypes. Now,
yes.
Now, when we get to
you're
those.
So nasty.
Yeah.
You just want
to
be nasty.
Yeah, of course. Any opportunity I have to be nasty is a great opportunity. Come on, of course.
Listen, I actually, you know, I try to give you guys a leadway. I thought that you would actually bring up some of those, and you didn't. So I'm a little surprised, but I
agree.
They're
coming.
I wanted to. You know what? I'm limited because as a married man, I can't discuss my personal life. And then if I go too deep into my
life, this is Sparta.
Yeah, that's what it becomes. So I have restrictions upon me that I have to be aware of.
Because
I mean, if she happens to come down here and I'm talking about, like, you know, nobody wants to take it up the ass, you know.
Oh,
it's like, I can get me in trouble.
Oh, my God. What? Wait. What
is that? Oh, no.
I'm just saying, I have to be careful. I have limitations on me. I need to put some sensors.
Oh, my.
Yeah, just like, wait a minute. She come in the house, let's talk about flowers.
All right. Say goodbye, Manuel and James. Bye.
All right. You guys have a good night.
All right.
I just want to thank you guys for listening in. This is Miguel Marie, and you've been listening into Urban Conversation. Join us again on this coming Sunday for more interesting topics. We'll see you then.